It is July 2nd here. July 2nd. You know what's coming up in a few weeks?
Yep.
Training camp. So, the Aaron Rodgers Jets situation, and I'll put quotes around the word situation. Listen, let's not overreact to this, please. And even at the height of the lunacy, the one thing that I never said was that Aaron Rodgers' absence from the mini camp would adversely impact his performance this year or adversely impact the Jets' season or team, okay? But the one thing that I can't get away from, and it's rapidly approaching, camp is upon us in a couple of weeks, which is awesome and also unbelievable at the same time. But if you can't trust, and I can't, and I don't, if you can't trust the Jets with the most basic stuff, how can we expect them to have a successful season? You know, can somebody please enlighten me on this? I don't think there's a whole lot to debate. Jets have a top five, top six, top seven roster in all the football. I mean, you can laugh all you want. Oh, the Jets. Yeah, I know the Jets. The punchline Jets. Yeah, the Jets roster is pretty sick. The Jets have a Hall of Fame quarterback. And the Jets also are, at least now, the beneficiaries of a decaying division. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. The Bills are still, you know, solid, but they're not ascending. I think the Jets have a better roster. I do. Miami's going to be tough, and the Pats are a doormat. So there's so many things that have lined up for the New York Jets right now, yet I don't have an ounce of faith that this goes smoothly. Do you? Yeah. Boy, there was so much noise with this trip. I mean, really. Where's Rodgers? Where's this? And I think that to me, the way it was, the response, even more than his absence, the response to Aaron Rodgers' absence was, to me, a foreshadow of what plagues this franchise. Not that he wasn't there. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't love it. How do you? I mean, imagine Eli skipping out back in the day. I mean, come on. It's a very uncommon move for a very uncommon person. Aaron Rodgers is very unique, all right? Jets are also desperate, so they got to pretty much let him do whatever he wants to do. But the bottom line is, it wasn't so much that he wasn't there. It's the way it was presented. Understand the way the Sal and I talked about this. By the way, Sal is off today. His daughter's first day of school. So I saw the picture, buddy. Hopefully you guys are having a great time. Good luck to Sammy. Get the tissues, buddy. I remember that a couple of years ago. It is definitely a sad/happy day, so enjoy it. All right, so I remember when we talked about this, and it was like a mixture of everything. To me, this was off base, this one aspect. There were some people who had no issue, zero, with Aaron Rodgers not being there. Could do whatever he wants. Like, that's just not the way I'm built. I'm still a man of structure and accountability and teamwork and unity and togetherness and all those other things. Like, being present still kind of matters to me. But I didn't make a massive deal out of it because I do understand he knows the playbook. And he obviously, if he's healthy, he's going to be very good and the best Jets quarterback in a long time. That was never my concern. That was the concern for some of you. And on the opposite end of the scale, there was complete anarchy. And I thought it was a little misplaced, like toward Rodgers. Again, I didn't love it, but my biggest gripe was, how in the world could the New York Jets, who had weeks to prepare and craft a message to deliver to you, the consumer, right? Hey, here's what's going on. We know about this. It's not a big deal. Just brush it off. Keep it moving. They couldn't even do that. So as we sit here on July 2nd, couple of weeks away, Jets and the Giants from training camp, different expectations for both, to be fair, you know. And the expectation for the Jets has to be to win a lot. And I don't think they'll get in their way on the field. It's the other stuff that worries me. And it's not going away. Like, it's not going to go away a week from today on July 9th. It's not going to go away on July 16th. It's not going to go away if they win every preseason game. It's not going to go away until they win the Super Bowl or they have a new coach. That's where we are with the New York Jets. And it's unsettling, too. Like, how many times, I don't want to overstate this, it's like they have Lawrence Taylor, you know, and like the mid-'80s Giants defense or some of these souped-up all-time offenses. No, I'm not saying that. But you look at balance 1 through 53, Jets have a ton. Jets have a ton. And how many times in this city, it's actually quite rare, I think about it, where we've got a team, any sport, pick any sport, with the requisite amount of talent, an abundance of talent, a surplus, and we just don't have belief because we don't trust the coach. Doesn't really happen. Didn't happen with Joe Torre's Yankees, you know, when Bobby V was the manager of the Mets. Didn't really, not that the Mets were amazing every year, but you knew that Bobby V would squeeze whatever he had to squeeze out of that roster. Tom Thibodeau, got no concerns about him. None. Pat Riley, zero. Jeff Van Gundy, none. Most of the Ranger coaches, no, not really. Now, Drury's got a little work to do here. But the coaches, no, not this coach at least. The last coach, yeah. So it's just, it's an odd mixture. And I would love to sit here and say, and I have, that the Jets have a ton of talent. But they also have a head coach who is not a head coach. He's not. He is not proven to be assertive enough or in control enough or, quite frankly, good enough on Sundays to instill that belief in us where we're ready to rock. It is wait and see. And with Rodgers, it didn't have to be this hard. Just gets back from Egypt. Well, you know, and again, as much as I say it's not a massive deal, I mean, really, it still does bother me that this guy felt that he could just pick up and do whatever he wants. But that's what happens when you're desperate. Beggars can't be choosers, right? You brought him in, you gave him the keys, now you got to let him do whatever he wants to do. And now the onus is on the coach to keep control. Last year, he showed none. The year before that, with Zach and Mike White, he showed none. And so far this year, he has shown less. And that is the one thing, if anything, that's going to, aside from injury, and of course football, that always matters, that will derail and destroy what could be an awesome, amazing Jets season. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sound on the Fan inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, let's get to the calls here. Adam in South Jersey. Adam, what's happening?
Now batting leadoff on the Fan. Adam from South Jersey.
Yes.
What's up, BT? How are you today, brother?
I'm good. How's, man, how you doing, Adam? What's happening?
I was having a real nice morning. Work is nice and slow, yeah. Stay nice and easy. And then you got to bring up the Jets. My God. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a couple of friends at work about this, and I work with a bunch of Eagles fans because I work close to Philly.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, you should be excited this year. You got this, you got that. And I looked one guy in the face. I said, yeah, but I got Rob Saleh. I was like, you don't understand. This is something that we can't escape right now. And this is, you know, I'm looking forward to the Knicks because I'm scared of the Jets, BT. I'm terrified. I'm terrified that this good roster is going to go and they're going to start gangbusters because they do have talent. They're a top five roster in the league, right?
I think
but
so.
You know it.
I think so.
You know, and then you look at it and you say, but when we get in a close game, somebody's going to commit the 15-yarder. Somebody's going to do something stupid because there is no accountability or discipline coming from the head coach. And this team could end up winning games in spite of Saleh. They could win 12 games because of the roster.
Yep.
In spite of Saleh, in spite of Rodgers' idiosyncrasies, you know, but what you just said about the lack of accountability for him not going to that mandatory practice, while in the big scheme of play, gameplay, it doesn't make a big difference because it really doesn't. The guy's in the league for 10 billion years. What does make a difference is everybody knows they can do whatever they want. And that's a problem, BT. That's what scares me.
And it has
to do whatever they want.
You know, listen, by the way, Adam, it wasn't only an issue with Rodgers. Thanks for the call there, buddy. Good call to start the show here. So this goes back to really what he came in. And it's not just like Rodgers getting special rules or preferential treatment. I'm not even going to get into it, you know, in terms of the weeds, but You guys know where I stand on the whole Mike White t-shirts. To me, that was such an absence of leadership and dereliction of duty. It was so unfair and so irresponsible for the head coach to allow that to happen to a second overall pick. And whether or not Zach was going to ever be good here or not, and he never became good because he wasn't good and the Jets failed him, that's not even the point. It really was just an absence of leadership. And to me, that was an early warning sign. Now, I will say this, though. All right. The emotion, and Adam used the word terrified. He said, I'm terrified, all right, that the coach or the lack of accountability is going to derail the season. I said the same thing. But it beats being apathetic. I mean, I guess on the scoreboard of emotions, it's a win, right? Because most of the last 15 years, you just knew right about now. Sam Darnold, I mean, McCown. It didn't matter who it was. I mean, Bryce Petty, Gino, you're like, we got no shot. So at least being terrified is a starting point. Listen, I am with the Jets. I am an absolute glutton for punishment. I know I am. I do think that I have wisely laid down the law, or at least drawn the line pertaining to the coach. Like, he's not fooling me anymore. Zach Wilson fooled me a little bit. Todd Bowles for a second. Hell, even Adam Gase, when he was brought in here, I thought, well, you know, he had a couple of decent years in Miami. He's got to be better than what the Jets had before him. Like, the Jets have made me lose all football sensibility, all right? But I think with the head coach, I really think my instincts are on point. And it's not personal. I always say that. I think he's a great person. Is he a good coach? No, he's not. He hasn't proven that. And there's a lot of coaches who have yet to win, but they at least demonstrate the aura and the inner, like, the innate skill to lead men. And I haven't seen that from him. I just haven't seen it. And neither have you. Let me get Joe in Peekskill. Joe, BT and Sal, what's going on, Joe?
Yeah, BT, you know, Aaron is a Hall of Fame quarterback, no doubt about it. But when you let the inmates run the prison, you end up having a lot of problems. And I think that's eventually what's going to happen. Salah just doesn't have the backbone to do what needs to be done. And as a result, I think what's going to happen is you're going to have some problems inside the locker room if things don't start off really well. And I think that'll snowball. And one last other thing, BT, if I might just impose on you.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
My grandson's 15 years old. He just made the USA 15 youth hockey camp in Buffalo, New York.
Wow.
So I'm really proud of him.
Well, Joe,
he's a real good kid.
That's Joe.
I just wanted to give him a shout.
Well, Joe, what's his name?
Nicholas.
Nicholas, 15. So he's going up to Lake Placid. Where's the training going to be?
It's in Buffalo, Amherst, right outside of Buffalo in July.
That is awesome. You must be so proud. Congrats to the entire family, Joe. That is outstanding. 15 years old. That's great. Speaking of family, my family thinks I'm absolutely nuts. Now, my son still believes this part, but nobody else does. So we're driving this past weekend down to near Great Adventure. There's a big baseball complex called Adventure Sports. It's actually awesome. I'm sure many of you have been there. It's fantastic, right? And it's about 75 miles from our home. So, you know, go Saturday, play a doubleheader, drive back, go back Sunday, drive back. And we're in the car a lot. And it's not always the four of us because, you know, the way it is, my daughter's 7. Yeah, I don't need to take her to the game so she can watch them warm up for an hour. So if we're playing closer, generally my wife will come with my daughter when the game starts, and I'll be there for the warm-ups with my son. Anyway, we're driving, we're talking about music, we're playing music, they're on their iPads, we're doing all sorts of things, everything that the family does on a long drive, right? And my son says in the backseat, Dad, are the Jets going to be good this year? I go, yeah. And, like, it just hit me. It was such an innocent inquiry, and he's locked in. Like, he knows all the players. He's a sport. I've talked about it. He's a sports kid, trust me. And my wife goes, oh, God, from the front seat, here we go again. I go, no, I promised. Then I start ripping. No, they brought in this offense. They brought in this guy from the Ravens to play offensive line. They brought in the Cowboys fan. They brought in Tyron Smith. We got this. We got this. We got that. Here we go. Setting ourselves up. But I am under no illusion that there is one. Well, there's two things that could completely derail this. All right. One is the head coach. And one is another injury to the quarterback. Although, even if Rodgers got hurt, Taylor would be more equipped to piece it together than whatever they had last year. That mishmash of nothing. But, yeah, I mean, I'm taking the hook. I'm taking the hook, understanding that the coach could be the gaffe. Let me get Kishwar, I believe is how you say it, in Texas. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir, you did.
Kishwar, what's happening, buddy?
How you doing, man? I'm a long-time listener. I'm originally from New York, but moved to Texas 4 years ago. But
all right.
I never let go of that stuff, so it's still home.
You're breaking up, buddy. Now you better move back if you want to get back on the fan. Oh, man, sorry. I wanted to give you a shot there. How about Justin in Queens? Justin, what's going on?
BT, love you, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Really proud of you guys. Listen, I'm a huge Jeff fan. Huge Jeff fan.
Okay.
And it's, oh, man, this is tough. Okay, I don't really trust Salah either, right? But you kind of got to give him, you got to give him credit because when he came in here, we were a dumpster fire, right?
And they still are.
This is a defensive team. Right, but hold on. We're a defensive team.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
The defense is awesome, and that's because of him. You got to give credit where credit is due. Now, you got to also take into consideration the organization. They did him no favors. Zach should have never been drafted, too. Let's just be honest. Right? They may force him to, you know, they play him right off the jump. No business being a starter, and now he's got to try to keep it together. What he was hired for, he's done. This team is ready to rock.
Let's have a little conversation here. So you just said what he was hired to do, he's done. No, yeah. Hired to win.
Well, hold on a second. The first year was a wreck.
Okay.
And then the last year, he squeezed 7 wins out of a Zach Wilson-led team after what happened with Rodgers. And the year before that, they showed improvement. When I say what he was hired to do, he did.
No, he didn't.
That was because he... Hold on one second. He didn't improve the defense. He didn't galvanize the team. These guys love him, BT. They love him.
Yo, Justin, hold on, bud. Justin, that's the problem. They love him too much. They don't fear him. That's the problem. I know that they like Robert Saleh. He's a likable person. Said it a million times. You can't be buddy-buddy with your coach. There's got to be, and again, guys, this is not, you know, Parcells or Landry in the 60s or 70s. I understood. Lombardi's Packers, you know, 5-hour practice in the stifling, oppressive heat, you know, and without a water break. I get it. The athletes and times have changed quite a bit. But there's still got to be a little bit of a check and a balance. And I feel like every time I check, I'm not really sure who the coach is. I know they like him. I don't really want them to like him. Hey, you want to show me that you like him? Win. That's how you can prove to me that you like him. You want to prove to me that you really like him? Stop committing dumb, selfish penalties. Which, oh yeah, by the way, they always do, despite the good defense. And oh yeah, by the way, is a direct connection and reflection of the coach. You know, if you run a loose ship, guess what? On Sundays, it's coming out. Jumping off sides, late hits, the sloppy penalties. That is because the practices aren't buttoned up. That's because the facility isn't buttoned up. Good disciplined teams, I'm not saying you never commit penalties, but you don't get, they don't derail games and seasons. They have with him, you know? That's it. Give him credit. No. You can give him credit. Thanks for the call. You can give him credit for all of us because I don't know anybody else that wants to give him credit. Like, that's crazy to me. Credit. He's lucky he's still here. Huff, they want us to give Salva credit. For what? What? Wow, that's an odd one. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal, minus Sal, here on The Fan. All right, we'll get to the Mets win later. Luis Gil, we'll do this in about 25 minutes as well. Tonight, Luis Gil's start for the Yankees is the most important start for a Yankee pitcher all season. We'll get it all in. Back on The Fan in a minute. All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan. 1027. Sal is off today. But the Jets are off today as well. But they will be back to work pretty soon, as will the Giants. I got July 2nd. Wow. July 2nd. Training camp is coming. And I am equal parts pumped and petrified. Pumped because the roster is awesome from the Jets' perspective, petrified because I'm not sure the coach knows what to do with it. Matter of fact, I don't think. I don't need to be, you know, obscure with that. I don't think he knows what to do with it. And he's got to prove to us that he does. And it's not just like the deployment of players. I'm not going to waste your time. Oh, the cover two, he needed to do whatever. I'm talking about being a CEO of a team where you're buttoned up, where you're unified, where you're disciplined. And those are the things that have been very evasive for Robert Saleh so far. And I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but don't you just think it's kind of human nature? I think this applies to any job in the workforce, parenting, when you have little kids, as they get older, as they mature. Like, if you try to change course 3-4 years into something, do you think it's really going to be effective? Like, I'll give you great point of reference here. So, our new program director, who's feeling pretty comfortable these days. You notice Ryan Hurley just walking. Now he's letting it flow. First week or two, he just kind of observed. Now Hurley's being back. You know, he's the Hurley that I know, which is awesome. But imagine in like 3 years, Ryan Hurley tried to change completely how he talks to us and how he handles us and coaches us. Not that we wouldn't listen. He's our boss. But it would be confusing. It might not be quite as believable. And I always give you guys the analogy of whether it's the napkin on the lap or chewing with your mouth closed as a young kid. If you don't do it when you're 7, 8, 9, guess what? The first time you ring, you know, your girlfriend or your boyfriend's doorbell when you're 17, 18, 19, 20, whatever it is, and you sit down with her mom or his mom and dad, and you're eating like a cow and you look like a slob, guess what? You're probably not going to recover from that. So I'm just a big believer, and it's, trust me, it's not as easy as I make it sound on the radio. I promise you that. But I'm a big believer in, you know, once the culture is established, it's established and it takes roots and it can grow. And conversely, when it doesn't root, you might have some superficial coverage here, like, but it's not really stable. And that's where I feel the Jets are. Dearth of talent? No way. They got a surplus of talent. Yet I'm still terrified. 888-808-1019. We got Mike in New Rochelle, BT and Sal on the Fan. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, brother. How we doing, man? I know how you're doing. I know you're frustrated. And listen, every sport, you know, I always go the opposite way, and I really don't root for the other team. But with the Jets, you know, I have a little history. I remember going out back in the day, my father taking me out to Shea and, you know, stuff like that. So I want to see this team win. And I told you before you jumped on with Sal, one of the first calls I ever made with you and Tiki was that Douglas, I still think, did a fantastic job with the roster.
Okay.
But he built this team from the toenails to the tip. He didn't build it from the head down. You understand? This team is a beast like Frankenstein. And what happened with Frankenstein? He's got no brain. He walks around going, right? There's no direction. All right? Saleh, every shirt that he wears, sweatshirt that he wears, if he turns around, you're going to see a bunch of footprints on it. They are walking all over him. All right? I've seen it since Hard Knocks. When he did that little skit driving to work as Tony Soprano, I said, get rid of this guy. He's a clown. All right? I'm sorry. I know you love the guy, you know, and I want to
see him. I love him. I think he's, you know, I don't think he's a good coach. I'd like to have a good coach one day for the Jets. That would be nice.
You like the guy. You know, at first you loved him, you know, but now, you know, this guy, he's a coordinator at best, you know. But yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, they got everything locked down. You know, if they get it right, he loses them games just for his lack of football awareness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And second thing real quick I wanted to tell you before I go, I read a report out of Denver from Sean Payton, and he said Zach Wilson can really spin it. BT, have a good day,
yeah,
brother.
Gotcha. I got it. Thanks, buddy. Can't spin it like Mike White, though, that's for sure. Zach. Oh, God, I thought he was the one. I thought he was the golden boy. That footage from his combine, rolling out, inflated 60 yards effortlessly on a dime. I'm like, there he is. That's our guy. Here we go. No, I mean, I think that the most disappointing thing with Saleh is that, you know, I expected one version, and I got something totally different. I don't think I'm alone when I said we all, I certainly expected more of a presence, more of an old school, no nonsense, you know, physical throwback to just look at the guy. He's absolutely yoked. And then the visuals with the Niners, a madman on the sidelines, you know, imploring his guys on defense. I'm like, finally, it was just, to me, it felt like such a welcome change after Gase, who was, you know, what the heck he was. And Todd Bowles, who was and is a good football man and an accomplished football man, but just had zero personality. So I'm thinking, all right, here we go. It's the complete antithesis. We've got an injection of everything coming in. Just here's the vein. Feed me. Feed me with yelling and screaming and fire and passion. And you don't get it. I remember saying to Sal last year early, I'm like, I've never seen an NFL head coach not speak to his quarterback. Not even speak to him. So there were so many elements of disconnect. And to me, it's representative of bigger stuff. And that's not good. Let me get Randy and Mendham. Randy, BT and Sal, what's going on?
What's up, BT? Hey, man, love the show. I mean, I've been a longtime Jet fan, 50 years. And, you know, going to all your points that you're saying today, I agree 100%. But, you know, it starts up top. You know, you got Woody Johnson. You got this story. You don't have a football mind thinker for this team. And it just every year, it's the same thing. I bought in like you did. I mean, I hear you telling your son in the car, you want to buy in again. I remember I was coaching a football game that Monday night. My daughter calls me from when I'm coming back from the game. She goes, he's down. I go, what do you mean he's down? She goes, he's down. And I go, he's limping off. And I went, you know it's coming. And I hate to think this way, but what else do we got to think for? I mean, what are we looking for this year? Woody Johnson, organization, not understanding football, not understanding the game, goes all the way down through the levels, just like any corporate business in America, man. Mm. You start at the top, and I don't know what to do. I gave up my season tickets. They killed me on the PSLs, yeah. Lost that money. I gave them up. I said, I'm done with you guys. Now, I can't get her out. You can't get your son out. What do we do now? You know what I mean?
You hope for the best.
I got nothing else to do.
Randy, you hope. Hey, I'll tell you what you do. I think what you do is, boy, it's a simple question, but it's the question. And thanks for the call there, Randy. Sound like a good guy. What do? You hope for the best, and you keep your eyes wide open. And I don't want to say you expect the worst, because that goes against everything that I've been, you know, back to the whole unkillable craziness. No. That's not me. That's Joe B. And we love Joe. That's not me. I don't play that game. I'm not going to be, and I'm not calling, don't twist this on social media. I'm not calling Joe a loser. I love Joe. Joe's the best. He's a legend, and he's a friend, and he's great. But I can't subscribe to that negativity. That's not me. I will never be. The day that fully becomes me is the day that I walk away from this business. Because I am rooted in positivity. But I'm also crazy in terms of being, you know, real and keeping it real. And I'm trying to teeter this tightrope of hope and expectation that's rooted in realness. It's not like I'm manufacturing this. They've got one of the best corners in football. They got one of the best wide receivers in football. They've got one of the best quarterbacks all time in football. I mean, they've got everything. They really do. They've got so much going for them. Yet, as I look on the other side of that tightrope, I see a head coach who has yet to prove to any of us that he knows what to do. And that's where we are. That's where we are. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Chuck is in LBI, New Jersey. What's going on, Chuck?
How's it going, BT?
Hello, Chuck.
I want to talk about when I officially lost all respect for Robert Saleh. And what
go
I got to say here is, you know, I never liked him. He was never my guy, but I respected him for always having his players' back. He reminded me of, at his best, kind of like an Aaron Boone. Like, I'm not 100% sure what he does, but in the press conferences, he always had his guys' back. I respect him for that. Always with Zach. Then, when the ownership makes a decision, it's clear he's not coming back, he ditches Wilson. He goes, you know, I wasn't involved in the second pick or whatever that was, whatever he said.
Mm.
And that is unforgivable to me. When you're a guy, a coach that's known to have your players' backs, and then you do that, Come on.
Yeah. The way he treated Zach Wilson was... I mean, this is old stuff, so I almost don't want to just rehash and regurgitate all this, but it is part of the story of Robert Saleh. It's just unforgivable. You know, the absolute... Like, you talk about deleting somebody's confidence immediately. He broke them. He broke them. And he really never showed any real interest in trying to build them back up. I understand, you know, young coaches make mistakes. Young quarterbacks, certainly. And in Zach's case, he made a litany of mistakes. But I don't think I'm alone. I don't think. When I still say there's a little tiny, teeny, weeny piece of me that says... I know he could throw it, and if he had another second to throw it and process, you know, maybe it could have been a little different. Not that it matters now, but it's the other stuff. Just the complete sabotaging of a young man's place in the locker room, you know? That's bad. That is really bad. I don't know... The first issue this year, whether it's a big injury, and there's going to be one because it's football, or a brutal loss due to mismanagement or whatever, and we look to him. Now, let's say the Jets are having a good season, because they will. And we look to him to stabilize this. All right, coach, everybody's confidence is shot. Everybody's hope and belief is decaying, because here we go again. It is up to you to reprogram us. Does anybody have faith that he can? That he will? I don't. I actually think he's going to make it worse. That's what scares us. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal. Minus Sal. He is off today on the fan here. Come back. Get these calls on the situation with the Jets. Rodgers obviously just got back from Egypt. That's why we're talking about this today. And also, listen, the Mets bullpen, yeah, I'll get to that. But coming up, I got to throw this on the table, too. We've had, I don't know, how many games have the Yankees played? 80-something? 80-something starts by the New York Yankees pitchers, right? Tonight is the one that we, in my opinion, will remember most. It's the most important start of the season. We'll get to that. Not from a team perspective. For the pitcher. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan, 10:45. Yeah. Gonna be working at barbecue tonight. Gonna be stuffing my face for the next couple of days. Enjoying a little downtime. Before you know it, Jets and Giants camp. Yanks and Mets keep going here. Wow, that Met game was wild. I'll get to that. My goodness. Wild. All right. So, tonight's start by Luis Gil. I mean, this is absolutely massive. So, the Yankees this year have always been positioned two ways. Judge and Soto and Cole and Gil. If you really want to just bottom line, baseline it, like, all right, what can the Yankees do? Well, the Yankees could do anything because of Judge and Soto and Cole and Gil. Now, the Cole and Gil stuff was... Number one, Cole was not back yet, but we know what he is and who he is. And Gil was in the middle of a stretch that somebody on the station actually compared to Dwight Gooden. Who was that? And since then, it has not gone particularly well. Luis Gil's June, his ERA was almost 6.5. Almost a 6.5. Now, that's not to say that he's got to go back and resemble a Dwight Gooden or a right-handed version of Koufax or Bob Gibson or a Clemens or a Maddox. I mean, his numbers were staggeringly good, all right? That was never realistic. But it was not unrealistic to think that he could be one of those two hammers in October against whomever to get you number 28. And right now, the Luis Gil that I'm seeing bears no resemblance to that pitcher. Now, the other thing that complicates this is that they've got to juggle the innings. And this is a real thing. It's a big thing. It's not a manufacturer thing. So, like most things with baseball, It's going to resolve itself. Think about the conversations that we had, you know, 2.5, 3 weeks ago. Well, oh my God, what do you got? Where's Dominguez going to play? Well, okay, well then Stanton gets hurt and the door's open for Dominguez and then Dominguez gets hurt. So you just never know. Best laid plans generally go awry in all sports, right? So to sit here and say, well, you know, by August 1st, he'll be at 112 innings. And then I don't know what their plan is. I have no idea. But I know this. If Luis Gil doesn't get back to at least 85-80% of what he was, Yankees can't win. I mean, they can't win the World Series. I don't know how they do. You know how I feel about their offense. Their offense, it should be the prequel to, you know, to Two and a half men. They got 2.5 hitters. Volpe's the half, and Soto and Judge are the 2 hitters. Well, who's going to win with that? They got to make another move, and I told you that. But the move that they need to make would be less important. Like, you don't need to. I know Vlad Guerrero's a little bit banged up right now, courtesy of the Yankees. You don't need to get Vladdy if Cole and Heel are 1 and 1A lights out dominant. Then you just got to do a little tweaking. If you're going to have to try to hit yourself to a World Series, which is not advisable because it very rarely works, well, then you're going to need somebody like a Vlad or a bigger stick to make this thing more circular because the lineup stinks once you get past number 3. All right? Although Rice actually is showing some signs of a nice approach and as advertised in the minors, contact rate, et cetera. But they're short with the offense. Luis Gil, I don't know what to expect anymore. I don't. Like, I'm not worried like I am with Rodon. Like, at this point, you know, and Sal was saying this, and I was fighting it, and I was looking right, but ultimately, it flipped. Like, I really thought Rodon coming into the year would be good. He was. I thought he'd be in better shape. He was. His back was healthy. His stuff was there. He added a new pitch. Boom. All right. I was kind of gloating a little bit. And then he imploded, and he looks like batting practice, and more importantly, the level of fragility that he is now showing, like, outwardly, is alarming. Like, he might be completely mentally done. So you put Rodon to the side. All right, Clark Schmidt, he's not back for at least 5 weeks. And even when he gets, I like Clark Schmidt, he's not that one or two type. So, boom, put him aside. I think we all like Nestor Cortez. I don't really trust him against really good teams. I don't. Some of you do. I don't. And I've always said that. I put him to the side. So who exactly is going to take the baseball against a team like the Orioles and try to shut him down? Well, I know Cole's going to answer the bell. I know Luis Gil answered the bell in late April, I guess that was, down there, 4-game series in Baltimore when he won 2-0, only game the Yankees won. But these last 5 starts, he looks totally different. And is this the league catching up to him? You know, I'm not a scout. I'm not a coach. Personally, though, I don't even think that that's it. Because when I watch him pitch, he's just not commanding his stuff. And I don't know why. Like, generally, when you come out and you look dominant, and then the hitters make the adjustments, they either kind of guess what's coming or pick up on a pattern, and they hit you. And now the onus is on you to then change what you do to now get them back off balance. I don't think that that's happening. I just see a pitcher who can't put guys away all of a sudden, whose slider is missing by a foot, whose fastball is missing by 10 inches up. So I think the stuff is still dominant. I'm not worried about that. But he's got to recalibrate, whether it's mechanical. I don't know why he's lost command. He's got to find it. And if Luis Gil, you know, puts up, you know, 4 1/3 with 90 pitches and he labors and, you know, walks 4 guys, gives up a home run, gives up 5-6 runs, where exactly are we with Luis Gil at that point? Like, at that point, it's almost all, like, he was so amazing. And now he's been so alarmingly off for a little bit. Even going back to the Dodgers game Sunday night where he couldn't put guys away. They didn't pitch poorly, but I know, I'm like, oof. Just a little tougher. And their first 4 hitters are amazing, so I get that. But it has not gotten better. It's gotten worse. And if Luis Gil doesn't pitch well tonight, the remaining confidence, and I'm not bailing on the young man. I do believe in him. But I don't know how whatever confidence remains in him doesn't almost fully dissipate. Because this is not like Gerrit Cole, who's given us a lot of stuff to react to. Luis Gil's barely pitched here. You know? Most important start by a Yankee starter this season is tonight. I don't care if they lose. He's just got to pitch well. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal here on The Fan. Mine is Sal. Kevin is in Morristown. Back to these Jet calls as well. Kev, what's going on?
Hey, how are you, BT? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Back to talking about Salah. I understand the worries, but I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
To what specifically? Just so I'm clear, Kev.
To the disciplinary, in a sense.
Okay,
I know it's his job to keep everyone in check, but I believe there's enough veteran leadership in Rodgers on the offense, Mosley on the defense, that they could take control and keep players in check as well. Almost as in, you get Hackett as the offensive coordinator. He's not really running the offense. He's there as a buddy. I think Salah is more, he's there to make the locker room speeches and hand out game balls. That if he can't take care of disciplinary, I'm not too worried about it because there's enough bets that will.
Now, Kev, I got to be honest with you, Kev. I really think that you're minimizing the importance of coaching, Kev. Come on. And C.J. Mosley's an amazing veteran. They've got a few of those guys here. But, teams aren't on autopilot. I mean, even the Niners with Walsh needed direction. And even Seifert after that with Young. Even Belichick's teams, their talent wasn't so amazing. That was mostly Belichick anyway, and Brady. Some of the best teams in football, you don't think the 85 Bears with that defense, you don't think that they still needed some coaching from Ditka or Parcells with the Giants? Come on. No, and especially in football. Now, you want to tell me baseball, all right, especially back in the day, scribble out a lineup, go get them, whatever. Football, if your coach doesn't own the room, that is not good. That's a recipe to implode. John's in Hoboken. What's happening, John?
What's going on, BT?
Hey.
Do you remember 2 years ago, after the second Jets-Patriots game, you posted on Twitter a video of you pulling your sweatshirt down, and you know what you said?
What?
You said, the kid stinks. And that's been the problem the last 2 years. Listen, is Salah the best coach in the world? I don't think so. But he has, he has some positive traits. But the last 2 years, he was hamstrung with a kid who couldn't throw the ball. You know, he couldn't throw a screen pass, not because of his skill, but because of what was between, in his brain. He just never had it. And this is, and he was forced, to run it back next year with him last year when he should have been long gone. Or the third option, last 2 years, they're making the playoffs with a guy like Tyrod. And you know what? Say what you want about Salah. The guy's gotten the worst luck in the world. I mean, last year, Rodgers went down. The starting left tackle went down, Dwayne Brown. AVT went down. And I know, what can you possibly do if you don't have a quarterback and you don't have anybody protecting
him? Hold on a second, John. All you got to do is look at the Giants, John. I mean, what happens when you lose your quarterback? I don't know. You go to a kid who sounds like he should be making heroes instead of throwing passes in DeVito, and you win. That's what you do. That's what real coaches do. I'm not saying that Salah has been handed, and pocket aces when it comes to quarterbacks. I get that. Understood. But the defense and the way that his general manager's drafted for him in most spots, I mean, geez. Most head coaches would sign up for that. What is he supposed to do? I don't know. How about have a little influence? How about you walk into the room, the offensive room, instead of ignoring it, and you have a conversation? I don't know. How about you inspire your young quarterbacks instead of just completely taking their knees out from them from a confidence perspective? I don't know. That might help. That's a good starting point. Yeah, that goes out the window. I'm sorry. I cannot exonerate Robert Saleh for the mess that Zach Wilson was, which, by the way, I think that Saleh partly contributed to, although Zach's got to shoulder the burden clearly more so because he's the one making the mistakes. But Saleh did not help him. He hurt him, as I've outlined many times. But how are we going to give him a pass when in the same stadium, a guy who's coached, what, a year or two less as a head coach, went to the third-string quarterback and found a way to win games. So that doesn't fly. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. It's decaying because here we go again. It is up to you to reprogram us. Does anybody have faith that he can? That he will? I don't. I actually think he's going to make it worse. That's what scares us. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal. Midas Sal, he is off today on the Fan here. Come back, get these calls on the situation with the Jets. Rodgers obviously just got back from Egypt. That's why we're talking about this today. And also, listen, the Mets bullpen, yeah, I'll get to that. But coming up, I got to throw this on the table, too. We've had, I don't know, how many games have the Yankees played? 80-something? 80-something starts by the New York Yankees pitchers, right? Tonight is the one that we, in my opinion, will remember most. It's the most important start of the season. We'll get to that. Not from a team perspective, for the pitcher. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan, 1045. Yeah. Going to be working at barbecue tonight. Going to be stuffing my face for the next couple of days. Enjoying a little downtime. Before you know it, Jets and Giants camp. Yanks and Mets keep going here. Wow, that Met game was wild. I'll get to that. My goodness. Wild. All right. So, tonight's start by Luis Gil. I mean, this is absolutely massive. So, the Yankees this year have always been positioned two ways. Judge and Soto and Cole and Gil. If you really want to just bottom line baseline it, like, all right, what can the Yankees do? Well, the Yankees could do anything because of Judge and Soto and Cole and Gil. Now, the Cole and Gil stuff was, number one, Cole was not back yet, but we know what he is and who he is. And Gil was in the middle of a stretch that somebody on the station actually compared to Dwight Gooden. Who was that? And since then, it has not gone particularly well. Luis Gil's June, his ERA was almost 6.5. Almost a 6.5. Now, that's not to say that he's got to go back and resemble a Dwight Gooden or a right-handed version of Koufax or Bob Gibson or a Clemens or a Maddox. I mean, his numbers were staggeringly good, all right? That was never realistic. But it was not unrealistic to think that he could be one of those two hammers in October against whomever to get you number 28. And right now, the Luis Gil that I'm seeing bears no resemblance to that pitcher. Now, the other thing that complicates this is that they've got to juggle the innings. And this is a real thing. It's a big thing. It's not a manufacturer thing. So, like most things with baseball, it's going to resolve itself. Think about the conversations that we had, you know, 2.5, 3 weeks ago. Well, oh my God, what do you get? Where's Dominguez going to play? Well, okay, well then Stanton gets hurt. And the door's open for Dominguez, and then Dominguez gets hurt. So you just never know. Best laid plans generally go awry in all sports, right? So to sit here and say, well, you know, by August 1st, he'll be at 112 innings, and then I don't know what their plan is. I have no idea. But I know this. If Luis Gil doesn't get back to at least 85, 80-ish percent of what he was, Yankees can't win. I mean, they can't win the World Series. I don't know how they do. You know how I feel about their offense. Their offense, it should be the prequel to, you know, to three, what is that, 2.5 men? Two and a half men. They got 2.5 hitters. Volpe's the half, and Soto and Judge are the 2 hitters. Well, who's going to win with that? They got to make another move, and I told you that. But the move that they need to make would be less important. Like, you don't need to, I know Vlad Guerrero's a little bit banged up right now, courtesy of the Yankees. You don't need to get Vladdy if Cole and Gil are 1 and 1A lights out dominant. Then you just got to do a little tweaking. If you're going to have to try to hit yourself to a World Series, which is not advisable because it very rarely works, well, then you're going to need somebody like a Vlad or a bigger stick to make this thing more circular because the lineup stinks once you get past number 3. All right. Although Rice actually is showing some signs of a nice approach and as advertised in the minors, contact rate, et cetera. But they're short with the offense. Luis Gil, I don't know what to expect anymore. I don't. Like, I'm not worried like I am with Rodon. Like, at this point, you know, and Sal was saying this, and I was fighting it, and I was looking right, but ultimately, it flipped. Like, I really thought Rodon coming into the year would be good. He was. I thought he'd be in better shape. He was. His back was healthy. His stuff was there. He added a new pitch. Boom. All right. I was kind of gloating a little bit. And then he imploded, and he looks like batting practice. And more importantly, the level of fragility that he is now showing, like, outwardly, is alarming. Like, he might be completely mentally done. So you put Rodon to the side. All right, Clark Schmidt, he's not back for at least 5 weeks. And even I like Clark Schmidt, he's not that one or two type. So boom, put him aside. I think we all like Nestor Cortez. I don't really trust him against really good teams. I don't. Some of you do. I don't. And I've always said that. I put him to the side. So who exactly is going to take the baseball against a team like the Orioles and try to shut him down? Well, I know Cole's going to answer the bell. I know Luis Gil answered the bell in late April, I guess that was, down there, four-game series in Baltimore, when he won 2-0, only game the Yankees won. But these last five starts, he looks totally different. And is this the league catching up to him? You know, I'm not a scout. I'm not a coach. Personally, though, I don't even think that that's it. Because when I watch him pitch, he's just not commanding his stuff. And I don't know why. Like, generally, when you come out and you look dominant, and then the hitters make the adjustments, they either kind of guess what's coming or pick up on a pattern, and they hit you. And now the onus is on you to then change what you do to now get them back off balance. I don't think that that's happening. I just see a pitcher who can't put guys away all of a sudden, whose slider is missing by a foot, whose fastball is missing by 10 inches up. So I think the stuff is still dominant. I'm not worried about that. But he's got to recalibrate, whether it's mechanical. I don't know why he's lost command. He's got to find it. And if Luis Gil, you know, puts up, you know, 4 1/3 with 90 pitches and he labors and, you know, walks four guys, gives up a home run, gives up 5-6 runs, where exactly are we with Luis Gil at that point? Like, at that point, it's almost all, like, he was so amazing, and now he's been so alarmingly off for a little bit. Even going back to the Dodgers game Sunday night where he couldn't put guys away. They didn't pitch poorly, but I'm like, oof. Just a little tougher. And their first four hitters are amazing, so I get that. But it has not gotten better. It's gotten worse. And if Luis Gil doesn't pitch well tonight, the remaining confidence, and I'm not bailing on the young man. I do believe in him. But I don't know how whatever confidence remains in him doesn't almost fully dissipate. Because this is not like Gerrit Cole, who's given us a lot of stuff to react to. Luis Gil's barely pitched here. You know? Most important start by a Yankee starter this season is tonight. I don't even care if they lose. He's just got to pitch well. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal here on The Fan. Minus Sal. Kevin is in Morristown. Back to these Jet calls as well. Kev, what's going on?
Hey, how are you, BT? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Back to talking about Sala. I understand the worries, but I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
To what specifically? Just so I'm clear, Kev.
To the disciplinary, in a sense.
Okay,
I know it's his job to keep everyone in check, but I believe there's enough veteran leadership in Rodgers on the offense, Mosley on the defense, that they could take control and keep players in check as well. Almost as in, you get Hackett as the offensive coordinator. He's not really running the offense. He's there as a buddy. I think Sala is more, you know, he's there to make the locker room speeches and hand out game balls. That if he can't take care of disciplinary, I'm not too worried about it because there's enough bets that will.
Now, Kev, I got to be honest with you, Kev. I really think that you're minimizing the importance of coaching, Kev. Come on. I mean, you know, and C.J. Mosley's an amazing veteran. They've got a few of those guys here. But, I mean, teams aren't on autopilot. I mean, even the Niners with Walsh needed direction. And even Seifert after that with Young. Even Belichick's teams, well, they, I mean, actually their talent wasn't so amazing. That was mostly Belichick anyway, and Brady. Some of the best teams in football, you don't think the 85 Bears with that defense, you don't think that they still needed some coaching from Ditka or Parcells with the Giants? Come on. No, and especially in football. Now, you want to tell me baseball, all right, especially back in the day, scribble out a lineup, go get them, whatever. Football, if your coach doesn't own the room, that is not good. That's a recipe to implode. John's in Hoboken. What's happening, John?
What's going on, BT?
Hey.
Do you remember 2 years ago, after the second Jets-Patriots game, you posted on Twitter a video of you pulling your sweatshirt down, and you know what you said?
What?
You said, the kid stinks. And that's been the problem the last 2 years. Listen, is Salah the best coach in the world? I don't think so, but he has, you know, he has some positive traits. But the last 2 years, he was hamstrung with a kid who couldn't throw the ball. You know, he couldn't throw a screen pass, not because of his skill, but because of what was between, you know, in his brain. He just never had it. And this is, and he was forced, you know, to run it back next year with him last year when he should have been long gone, or the third option. Last 2 years, they're making the playoffs with a guy like Tyrod. And you know what? Say what you want about Salah. The guy's gotten the worst luck in the world. I mean, last year, Rodgers went down. The starting left tackle went down, Dwayne Brown. AVT went down. And I know, what can you possibly do if you don't have a quarterback and you don't have anybody protecting him?
Hold on a second, John. All you got to do is look at the Giants, John. I mean, what happens when you lose your quarterback? I don't know. You go to a kid who sounds like he should be making heroes instead of throwing passes in DeVito, and you win. That's what you do. That's what real coaches do. I'm not saying that Salah has been handed, you know, and pocket aces when it comes to quarterbacks. I get that. Understood. But the defense and the way that his general manager's drafted for him in most spots, I mean, geez. Most head coaches would sign up for that. What is he supposed to do? I don't know. How about have a little influence? How about you walk into the room, the offensive room, instead of ignoring it, and you have a conversation? I don't know. How about you inspire your young quarterbacks instead of just completely taking their knees out from them from a confidence perspective? I don't know. That might help. That's a good starting point. Yeah, that goes out the window. I'm sorry. I cannot exonerate Robert Saleh for the mess that Zach Wilson was, which, by the way, I think that Saleh partly contributed to, although Zach's got to shoulder the burden clearly more so because he's the one making the mistakes. But Saleh did not help him. He hurt him, as I've outlined many times. But how are we going to give him a pass when in the same stadium, a guy who's coached, what, a year or two less as a head coach, went to the third-string quarterback and found a way to win games. So that doesn't fly. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.